I want to encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I only have a few times with you in the month of January. No applause, please. We have several speakers that will be with us, and so I only have a handful of times to be able to speak to you concerning our Faith Promise missions. And I know what some of you are thinking, oh no, another message on giving. I don't preach that many messages on giving. I've been so thankful through the years that we have a giving church. I don't have to constantly chide or encourage in that regard, because you are faithful people and you're faithful givers. So my emphasis is going to be on encouraging our missionaries, I should say, plural. But in this case, from the book of Philippians, we have one missionary who was encouraged by a group of people who were faithful, the church at Philippi, in giving, but also in communicating with the Apostle Paul through encouragement, through notes, letters that were sent to him. And so I want to begin reading at verse 10, and I'll read through verse 20 of Philippians chapter 4. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. That word careful there means full of care. Full of care. Not careful in the sense of showing, you know, the idea of trying to be extra careful so that you don't break something. That's not the concept here, but full of care for the Apostle Paul. But ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. One supporting church. Think about that. And it was the church at Philippi that undertook to take care of the Apostle Paul. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, or literally, indeed, I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Here we have a picture of things, not money, but other things that were sent to him. Perhaps notes of encouragement. Perhaps some other items that would be of encouragement to the Apostle Paul in his travels. We don't know what they are, but it was beyond money that we need to consider. These things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice, please, our Father. Very intimate statement made by the Apostle Paul. It's our Father, not just my Father, but our Father. What a note of encouragement to a church that had been a blessing to him over the months and years that since he had first preached the gospel there at Philippi, a people who were connected with their missionary. And I'm going to emphasize that this month. I think it's important not only to drop money in the offering plate, but to faithfully pray for your missionaries, and beyond that, send things to them. As Paul said, you sent things unto me. To encourage them with notes, to encourage them with emails or a phone call or some other type of communication. Maybe send a small package to them that comes from your family. It is such a blessing and encouragement to our missionaries, and that's what we want to be. We've had so many missionaries that have come through over the years that have said, you know, we've been in churches that didn't know who we were. One missionary said he went to a church that had long been scheduled to come, and they showed up at the morning worship service, and the pastor said, "Who are you?" That kind of stuff goes on far too much. And the reason for that is that pastors don't do their job in communicating the needs of missionaries that the church supports. They don't do their job in communicating the need to pray for missionaries, to need to communicate. And this passage of Scripture here is a statement that is given by way of example for every church to know how to take care of their missionaries, to know how to encourage missionaries. By the way, the word encourage has the word courage in it. To encourage means to build up courage in. That's what encouragement is. We want to build up courage to our men and women who are serving on the mission field to know that they have people that are back in the United States praying for them and thinking of them and communicating with them in such a way that they are encouraged. They have courage built up in them to be faithful in what God's called them to do. Let me tell you something. You think about when you're separated from your family, when family can't come visit at Christmas because of other things, and you're there, just your family by yourselves. You think about missionaries that are serving way far away. The Frasers serving in the Philippines. You think about others. Ian and Cynthia serving in a country that they were not born in. And they're there in England serving faithfully. There are many missionaries. We could go around the globe and speak of them that are separated from their family. Do you think about that? Do you pray for them in that regard? Lord, just strengthen them today. Lord, be near them while they're separated from their family. You know, in this day and age, with the jet age and with communication, the vast gap that used to exist many, many years ago has gone away. I mean, with Skype and with FaceTime and the ability to be able to communicate anywhere in the world, things are not like they used to be. And so there's no excuse for you and I not to know our missionaries. Absolutely no excuse. And there's no excuse for God's people not to be praying for our missionaries. I was talking to Brother Ken this morning. We were talking about the sad predicament of so many churches that are supporting missionaries. Some of them bragging about they have 80 or 90 missionaries, but they're supporting them at $10 a month. Now I'll tell you something. That's almost obnoxious. To take a missionary on for $10 a month. By the time you process that and mail it to them, it's like $5. And yet we're bragging, patting ourselves. We've got over 100 missionaries that we're supporting. We determined many, many years ago that we weren't going to do that. That we were going to have meaningful support for our missionaries, and it was going to come in many different ways. It was going to be in more ways than just sending a check once a month. It was to alert God's people to pray. The lifeline of prayer is what makes a missionary ministry. Yes, giving is important, but I want to tell you something. In these days especially, we need to pray a hedge around our missionaries. And we need to pray a hedge around their children. That means you need to get to know them by name. Isn't that important? To know them by name? So if a missionary couple comes walking in with their family, we're not saying, "Who is that?" We're saying, "Oh, it's..." And then call them by name. Oh, what a blessing and encouragement that is. But that means effort on our part. Amen? Effort. And when you read this passage of Scripture, verses 9 through 20, you see a church family that's engaged with encouraging their founder, their missionary founder, the Apostle Paul. Paul mentions four things in response to their giving and to those things that were sent to him that were an encouragement that I want to bring your attention to. Number one, he rejoiced in their care for him. He rejoiced in their care for him. Look at verse 10. We read there, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful or full of care, but ye lacked opportunity. He was thanking God greatly and rejoicing in the Lord greatly for the response and the care of this church for him. It's interesting here that this word flourishing is used. It means to sprout up, to blossom, to put forth new shoots. One of our peace lilies out in the foyer yesterday, I came out of prayer meeting and I walked by it and I looked down, it was the first one out here, and it was all wilted down. I had bought back in October 2 new pots and I said, I'm going to repot those peace lilies. They were from Brother Gator's funeral and they just have special meaning. And I saw that thing wilted out there, so I took it and I went out and pulled my pickup truck out here and I went and got some potting soil and I began the work and I took that out there and it was root bound. There was so little soil left in it. It was all roots. So I took it and I broke the roots up. And out of the middle of the roots, there was a little bit of potting soil from when it was first potted that was inside of the roots. But there was nothing there to sustain that peace lily. So I put soil down in the bottom of the pot and then I put it down in the center after I got it leveled up. And then I poured the dirt all the way around and I just kept going round and round, packing it down in there. And then I put the water to it. And I brought it inside. And that was in the morning. I came back in the evening and it had perked up just a little bit. And you could see it was starting to get some of that water. So I put a little more water into it Saturday evening. And then when I came in this morning, it was all perked up and there were new little shoots already coming up. Little tiny green shoots that you can see. You go out there and look at it tonight if you don't believe me. And all I could think of was that plant needed to flourish, and it needed help to do so. It had used up all of its resources. There was nothing left. Yes, water would be given to it, but that was not enough to sustain. It needed nutrients that was in the soil. So putting that plant down in new soil that was filled with fertilizer and good things that it needed to grow, it responded to that. It was encouraged to grow. So maybe, Lord willing, we'll be able to have those peace lilies for a little bit longer. I replanted both of them. And the other one looked healthy and good. It was root-bound, but it still had more soil than the other one. Now, it's the same thing with the Christian. And it's the same thing with the missionary Christian. There needs to be encouragement. And he said of them, in verse 10, "Your care of me hath flourished." It's blossomed. It's put forth new shoots as a healthy plant. The infinitive, to flourish, that's given there. The infinitive is used as the object of the verb and could be translated this way. You caused your thought for me. That idea of care means to put forth the mind to. To care. That means you have to put some thinking into it. Put your mind to it. You caused your thought for me to sprout, to flourish, and to bloom afresh, like a tree putting out fresh shoots after winter. I always look forward to my English dogwood every spring. I bought that from Dr. Hobbs many, many years ago. We planted it in our yard in a little circular flower area surrounded by petite azaleas. And that English dogwood, every spring, will put forth the most beautiful white buds. And you see it coming to life with little bitty green leaves, bright green leaves. And you see that thing coming to life, and before long, it'll start putting out its buds, and then the white flowers just pop out almost overnight. And it puts forth such a beautiful, beautiful flower, and they're very concentrated flowers. It's not one here and one there, but I mean, it's just a whole mass of beautiful white flowers. And it's flourishing. It's beautiful to see. And Paul is describing the church at Philippi as a flourishing, blooming church because they cared for him. A church that doesn't care for each other, and a church that doesn't care for its missionaries, that doesn't care to pray, that doesn't care to give, that doesn't care to communicate is a dying church. It's a dying church. That peace lily out there, if I had not repotted it and broke up those roots that were all bound together, that peace lily would have died. It was in the process of dying. You can see some of the leaves had big brown spots on them and even holes in them where that death was beginning to spread and work its way out. You know how it shows in a church? It shows in a church that doesn't care. And the apostle says, you're a blooming church. You're a flowering church because your care has reached me again. It wasn't the first time. It's reached me again. Number two, he accepted their gift as a communication with his affliction. Notice this, please, in verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. There were needs that the Apostle Paul had. We don't know particularly what the affliction was. Maybe there was an illness that with that gift that came with them, the things that were sent to him. Maybe there was some medication that was there. When I was in India, I was surprised. They had a doctor that came once a month to the student body. They didn't have a medical office per se, but they had a doctor that came to the campus, and at 6 o'clock in the evening, the student body gathered out on one of the nights that I was there, and there was a huge line, and this doctor had boxes, crates with him that he unloaded from his vehicle, and they were homeopathic remedies. Some of them smelled extremely awful. I don't know what they were. But there was a student that was complaining about a sore throat. And in the language of Tamil Nadu, he spoke to them and he said, I want you to chew on this and it will make your sore throat go away. And all I could think, it's going to make that student go away. But the doctor knew what he was doing. He had a homeopathic remedy and it didn't have any drugs. He had all of these things and he had a mortar and pestle there and he was grinding up things and making potions and things of that nature. One student had a cut that wasn't healing, and so he had a natural antibiotic that he fixed up for that student as a poultice to put on that particular wound to help it to heal. And he was helping them with their afflictions. Helping them. For some of them, because of the lack of antibiotics, there, it could have been something that could have turned much more serious if it had not been dealt with. But this man, Dr. Cherion, had said, had been coming for 10 years. This doctor from Coimbatore had quite a relationship with Dr. Cherion, and he would come in once a month, and he would help them. If he had emergencies, he would come, or they would take the students to the hospital if they had an emergency. But he was dealing with their afflictions. The Apostle Paul had an affliction. And the church at Philippi cared enough to help in that affliction. And he said, well done. Well done. Thank you for that help. Number three, he was grateful for their giving as they were the only church from the Macedonian region to support him. Again, when Paul was in Thessalonica on his second missionary journey, which is recorded in Acts chapter 17, verse 1 specifically says that he was there, he experienced a definite need of financial support. The Philippians sent him aid 2 times, we're told in this passage of Scripture, in verse 16. Having received their gifts from the hands of one of their men, Epaphroditus, who brought the gift from the church to the Apostle Paul to make sure that he got it. Have you ever wondered about the post office, whether a gift you were going to send going to make it? I'm praying for one box that we sent last month to Royden and Danielle. I sent 4 boxes of insulin needles and saline solution hypodermic needles that we sent to them. He said 3 of the boxes came. We do not have a 4th one. Now, I don't know where that 4th box is. Maybe it's sitting down there in Fort Lauderdale waiting to go on the next plane. I don't know. But three of the boxes made it on the airplane, and the airplane flew to Cap Haitian, and Royden went up there and picked up the boxes, and he sent me an email, and he said, Brother Todd, thank you so much. This is a huge help for our folks here. We needed hypodermic needles, and now we have them. Thank you so much for that. I'm praying for that other box. Would you pray too? Because we want to encourage Royden and Lucian and Maud. Maud is a nurse, and I know it's an encouragement to her. And we want to be a help. I don't want that box to be lost unless God has another purpose for it. I've seen Him do that sometimes. Sometimes a lost box is a benefit to somebody else who needed the help. So whatever His purpose is, we want that to be done. But I pray that it's just not lost or stolen by someone. We want it to be used for God's glory. The experience of only one church from the Macedonian region supporting him. And it was the church at Philippi. You know, I've often thought about our missionaries over the years. Some of them we've supported now for almost 30 years in our faith promise giving. They've been faithful people. Every month they go to their bank and they see those checks that may have been electronically entered in, and they see the church name behind it. And they know the name of the church that that money came from. And sometimes they may have only one church. The Threlfalls visit one church up in the Seattle area that's been supporting them since they went there during their tenure whenever they were not allowed to stay in South Korea. They had to go and they ministered up in Blaine, Washington to a Korean group of people there. And that church has been supporting them. So they always make it a point to go up there to visit that Korean church that they planted many, many years ago. It's the only church in the Washington State area that's supporting them. And it was the church that they planted. But what an encouragement it is to Doug and Barbara. A church that they planted is supporting them and encouraging them each month. I think it's important for us to realize that we may be a small church and we may not be sending enormous checks, but those gifts that we send mean a great deal to our missionaries. When you skip a month and you don't give because you've got vacation, or you skip a month because you don't think you have enough, what you're doing is saying, my God's not big enough to supply. You know, the Bible speaks of the fact that we give and God takes care of the rest. God will provide. He'll take care of what you need for vacation. He'll take care of that needed bill that has to be paid. But don't slight your giving to Him. He has work that He wants to have done, and He wants you to give to that work so you can do it. These people in Philippi were faithful and encouraging the Apostle Paul. And then fourthly, Paul called their giving to Him an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You ever been at a place that just smelled so good? You go to a restaurant and you're really hungry. Now, it doesn't matter whether they brought out a stiff piece of bread. You're so hungry, it wouldn't matter. But when you walk in the door, or maybe you just get out of your car and you're in the parking lot and that grill is going and you see that smoke billowing out, maybe it's a barbecue place. There's a place over on Fairfield called Brothers Barbecue. And when you drive, you can smell it a mile down the road. All right. As you're driving, you got your windows down, you start smelling that hickory. And and then you get closer and it gets stronger and stronger. When you get up there, he's got three or four pit barbecues just going, and that smell just billowing out, that hickory smoke smell. That is so good. I'm going to tell you something. You can just get filled up just smelling the smell sometimes. And you look and beneath there, maybe he's doing some barbecuing of sausages, or maybe he's doing, I'm making some of you hungry, I better stop here. But you smell that meat cooking, and you just start drooling a little bit, you know, you just can't wait to eat that. Paul said that the encouragement of the church at Philippi was a sweet odor. It was a wonderful aroma, not only to him, but notice, please, It says here, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to whom? To God. You see, folks, when we take care of our missionaries, when we encourage our missionaries, we are like a sweet smell to them, but not only to them. It's a sweet smell to God. Don't you want to be a sweet smell to God? I was so thankful when we got our boys through early adolescence. You'd walk into their bedroom, and I want to tell you something. There's nothing that smells worse than socks that come off of an adolescent boy. All you have to do is go through the bathhouse facility after PE, and it takes all you can do. You want to leave quickly, all right? Now, we do what we can to keep them clean and whatever, but that smell, that recess smell in the hallway when the first, second, and third graders come in, I mean, that aroma will drive you out of the building. You know, now, they can't help it. They've been out playing on the playground, and that's just normal for them. But it means they've been playing, and we want them to go home at 3 as quickly as possible. Share that aroma with Mom and Dad. Let's clean the hallways out of the smell. I wonder sometimes if that's the kind of smell we send up to the throne of God because we don't care. We have that dangerous, seriously dangerous attitude of whatever. Whatever. You know, we don't think about the needs of others. We're only thinking about ourselves. That whatever attitude is not the attitude of a Christian. It's not the attitude of a Christian. God won't let you keep that attitude. God will work and chastise in such a way to bring you to the place where you start caring. You start getting concerned. Because that's what Christians do. They care for each other. They take opportunities to reach out and to help. And so he called their care for him an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Not just pleasing, but how? Well-pleasing. Goes beyond. You know what we're missing today, I'm afraid, in Christianity? Is second mile Christianity. Going the second mile. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if someone bids you to go a mile, go with them twain. That's where we get the idea of a second mile. I grew up in the era where you sat in your car when you went to a gas station and your gas was pumped for you, your windshield wipers were checked out to make sure they were functioning properly. They wiped your windshield, they opened the hood, they checked all of your fluids. And that was a normal activity. That was service, you know. And I remember the gentleman that was out there at the old A-frame building out here on Stewart Street. You can still see the remnants of the old Esso station that used to be there. And I have pictured in my mind the man that worked there for many, many years. He was covered with grease from changing oil, but he had a rag sticking out of his pocket, and he would walk up there, hey, Brainerd family, how are you doing? And they used to give away green stamps. If you bought so much gas, you got green stamps. And so as kids, we would be looking at the green stamps because that meant we got something special from the grocery store. And we didn't think anything of what the man was doing. It was called a full-service gas station, but by the time I started to drive, the full-service gas station started to go away in America. We lost something, I think, during that time. I know that, you know, it's expensive to operate. We had the gas crunch that came along during that time, and so gas stations started cutting back. And today, you go inside to pay, and half the time, you can't understand what they're saying because they're people from another country. Especially up in Washington, D.C., we found this out. We were talking to Pakistanis. We were talking to people from Afghanistan. They had hoods. They had all kinds of stuff. And you're talking English, and I'm not getting it. You know, I'm just praying that when I give them the credit card, they're doing the right amount. You know, we've lost the concept of full service. Can you imagine what it's going to be like if we lose that in a restaurant where you have to do everything yourself, wash your dishes, go clean your plate? My pet peeve is to walk up to a food bar and there's food still on a plate. All right? I'll pull it off and I'll set it over to the side. And I'll reach down to like five. I don't like dried up food on my plate. There's just something disgusting about that. That Fred, 2 days ago, ate his meal. And he left behind whatever it was. And it went back there to the dishwasher, who's just throwing dishes in there and did it. And then they came out and it still had Fred's meal on it. And it got put in the stack and put out there. You know, you want clean plates. You want clean utensils. No one likes dried food on a fork. Ew. Put it down. You don't want to use that. Let me tell you something. When it comes to being an encouragement to our missionaries, we don't want to give them the leftovers. Do I hear an amen? I've told you about the times where people have pat themselves on the back. I've got a car with 295,000 miles and I'm going to give that to the missionaries. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the missionary says, oh no. Engine overhaul. New transmission. Brand new tires. You're going to have to go on that thing. You know, we're patting ourselves on the back because we gave our old leftovers that we don't want to drive anymore and we'll give it to some poor missionary. You need to read Bill and Teresa Fonmiller's little booklet on deputation and some of the crazy stuff that they were given over the years. You know, people thought they were being nice, but they were just giving them basically the junk that was going to go down to the Helping Hands mission or whatever, even to the dump. And it was given to the missionaries thinking that they would be something. Some of them were clothes that were so dated that you couldn't wear them. Some of them were paper thin. Just all kinds of things. That's not what the church is about. The church is about encouragement. Encouragement. To raise the level for our missionaries that they say, there's a church in Milton, Florida that cares about us. And they show it on a regular basis. That's the way that it ought to be. We're not going to get into this, but there are five realities of the Philippians' encouragement that I want to give you next time that we're together. Five realities of the Philippian church's encouragement. I think that as we pull these from the text, that they will be a big help. Some of them are touched on by Paul and his four responses to them. But I hope and pray that they will be a help and a blessing to you to realize that putting money in the offering plate when it goes by, that's wonderful, that's good. We ought to give. But our support for missions doesn't end there. It's just beginning. It's just beginning. There are so many things. Missionaries on their Facebook pages put needs for prayer all the time. Do you care enough to check? We read prayer letters each month for those that send them. We post them over on the bulletin board. We put things out there so you can know and you can see. Do you take a few moments to look and to say, you know what? There's a need on there I know I can meet. There's a way I can help. When Ron Ribeiro was here the time before last, he was here this summer, but then the time before that, they had definite needs for their new church plant. They needed audio equipment. They needed recording equipment so that they could be able to record the messages, put them online so that the folks in the area could be able to access them. God burdened the hearts of the people of this church to encourage Rom and Rachel. He went back with all that he needed for that church. When he came this summer, he pulled me aside. He said, I just want to say thank you again. There are people that are listening to our messages on our website from the equipment that was given by Grace Bible Church. It's an encouragement to us. We want to keep doing that. And we want to keep doing that until the trumpet sounds and we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's why He channels dollars to us, not for us to keep for ourselves. For us to channel those dollars to help His causes wherever they may be. 2018 is going to be a year of needs for our missionaries. A year of needs. Every month we're going to share with you needs from our missionaries. Some of them are for their children, physical needs, health needs, financial needs, whatever the case might be. And it's the care of each individual. And I'm including the boys and girls and the young people here too. There's no reason that you have to wait till you're 18 to help and to be a blessing and encouragement to pray for our missionaries. I'm thankful I grew up in a home where Mom and Dad read the missionary prayer letters to us at our Bible times together. We kept up with them. We knew who they were. And we prayed for them on a regular basis. And some of the children that we prayed for when we were kids have been on the mission field now for almost 40 years. Ken and Rhonda Johnson, Barbara Threlfall, we prayed for them as children that God would use them in a special way. And God's using them as missionaries there in South Korea. Oh, how we need to have a spirit and attitude of encouragement to build up courage in the lives of our missionary. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. What a testimony it is of people who lived 2,000 years ago, people who were believers that cared about their missionary, the Apostle Paul. They were concerned about his needs, and they sent not only money, but they sent things to encourage and help him in the missionary endeavors. Lord, I pray that we might take up that role. So many have already done so here in our church. But I want to encourage our young people. I want to encourage our children too. I want them to grow up in a church where they know that they're responsible to help as well. They're responsible to pray. They're not able to do much financially, but they can pray. And they can write an encouraging letter to a missionary to let them know that they're praying for them. Oh, there's so many ways. Just to send a handmade card is such an encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would work in every life here at Grace Bible Church to help us to know how important it is to encourage our missionaries. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.